Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Presents here on BuildGrownEnjoy.com. I'm, of course, Jiggy Jag, and this week we have a guy who really impressed the crap out of me at the 140 conference last year. Dennis Deary's with us. Dennis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Jiggy.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your speech last year at the 140 conference, and then I want to get into some other topics here, but first of all, talk to us about your experience at the 140 and your speech last year here in the Great Salt City of Hutchinson, Kansas.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you saying it impressed you so much. I hazard to say maybe you're easily impressed. I sure enjoyed it. So the topic of my talk was, if we don't talk religion or politics, what else is left? And the genesis of that was the idea that, especially in my Facebook feed, you don't see much of substance being discussed. I mean, we talk about maybe trips we take, post pictures of the kids, and especially pictures of cute kittens and cute puppies. But we don't really talk politics, and even when people do kind of hazard and put themselves out there a little bit and post something about their own political views, it very rarely gets a response. I mean, I post an awful lot of that kind of thing, and quite honestly, I get far more likes and far more response when I post something about cute kittens, and that's disappointing to me, and I think it probably reflects our culture in general in that we don't discuss difficult issues casually. And I just think that, you know, going back to the founding of the country, we were founded by people that believed that these topics were worthy of discussion, and not only worthy, but it was important and critical that we discuss them. And so I'm just kind of leading a one-man drive to use things like Facebook and Twitter. I mean, these provide us with more communication capability than we've ever had in the history of mankind. And I just think it would be horrible if we don't use them to discuss things of substance and really kind of poke and prod each other to think about what we believe about difficult issues and find ways to discuss them, and I think especially to disagree about them and still remain friends and still be able to talk to each other, because it's the only way that we're going to progress through some of these issues. We can't leave them to an anointed few politicians to discuss these difficult issues, because clearly that's not working very well for us.
We've got Dennis Deary with us today. You can find him on Twitter at DDEERY, D Deary, and calling us today from. Are you in Wisconsin, or are you traveling today?
I'm in Wisconsin today. Menominee, Wisconsin, is my home base. We're about an hour street east of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Did you notice during a lot of the when Wisconsin there for a while was like the center of the political universe? Did you notice a lot of people talking politics on social media, or was that kind of taboo in that area of the country?
I would say that's probably the most I've ever seen people discuss those things on social media. But I would also say that it was still limited to a fairly narrow range of people, and it very often was people that were kind of either involved with that discussion for their job, so they worked in advocacy or they worked in politics, or people who were directly impacted. So a lot of the changes that we saw impacted public workers, especially school teachers and folks like that, and they were kind of discussing it more, but I would say it was also an example of very much of what was wrong, because the way those changes were implemented at the state level were fairly unfriendly, and they were set up in such a way to limit discussion. And so the discussion that happened had to happen very quickly, and as a result, I think happened in a very shrill tone. So while an awful lot of people were saying things about those changes, I don't know that a lot of discussion was happening. So there wasn't a lot of listening. We were all kind of saying an awful lot, but not listening to what anybody else had to say about it.
We've got Dennis Deary with us today here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy Presents. BuildGrowAndEnjoy.com is the website, and you can find Dennis on Twitter at D-D-E-E-R-Y, D Deary. And Dennis is a technology consultant, writer. You do all sorts of different things. Talk to me about your work with technology, my friend.
Sure. So I've got a company called Irish Rose Consulting. I'm just a one-man operation. Actually started the company when I was in college, so more years ago than I care to count, and was a sideline venture. And then about 17 years ago, I went full-time with the operation and initially started out as a database software programmer. And so I would go into companies kind of when their spreadsheets got out of control, and I would write custom database software for them to track inventory of their cheese or manage their vegetable crop or what have you. Then the web came along, started doing more of that, and actually got into it from the database side of things. So they had a cheese inventory. They wanted to be able to publish that on their website. So we wrote some of that kind of stuff and developed quite a business just doing websites in general. So brochure sites, e-commerce sites, kind of you name it. I always say, people ask me who I work for, and I say anybody that's got a checkbook. And then, of course, social media came along, and I got an awful lot of questions. Kind of my clientele has been really small and mid-sized companies that don't have much in-house technology expertise. So while I come in and to do projects, I also kind of become the go-to tech guy for whatever question they have. And I found myself answering a lot of the same questions over and over, and so that kind of encouraged me to try and blog more and write more and also to speak more. And that coincided kind of nicely with this explosion in social media where even people that hadn't really embraced technology all of a sudden were grabbing hold of it for their personal life and for their business life. And so the past couple of years, I've been spending about a third of my time doing public speaking gigs and about a third of my time still doing database software and the other third doing web development. And I find the speaking and the writing is really enjoyable because when you work with somebody or work with an audience that isn't real tech savvy, you know, those of us that live in it every day know what kind of benefits it brings, how much productivity you can increase and all of that. So it's really fun to go to an audience and talk about these things and kind of get it in language they can understand, and you see that light bulb go on and you know how much you've maybe changed their business or their personal life.
We've got Dennis Deary with us today here on the big broadcast. You can find him on Twitter at ddeary. He is a Renaissance man, from what I can tell here. You do writing, photography. You're a technology guy, a public speaker, all sorts of different things. Talk to me about public speaking. How did you get involved in the world of public speaking?
Sure. It really wasn't by choice to begin with. I was one that, of course, going through school, we all had the various assignments where we had to get up in front of class and give a speech on an assigned topic. And in those days, it just absolutely paralyzed me with fright. You see the statistics that more people are afraid of public speaking than dying, and that would have been me very much so. But you get out in the working world, and of course, you have to do presentations on occasion. And I had the good fortune when I was in college and just after college to work for a startup company. And being a startup, you don't have a lot of resources, so everybody has to do everything. And I found myself in front of some fairly large audiences and some audiences of fairly high position, and just it was sink or swim. And I believed in what the startup was doing, and I had to communicate that message, so I had to develop some skill. And they always tell you, you know, the more public speaking you do, the better you get and the easier it becomes. And it was very hard to believe that at first, but it's true. And as I did more and more of it and got more comfortable with it, I found that I actually enjoyed it. So when I started my own business, it was always kind of part of what I did. When opportunities came up or people asked me to, I would go out and speak. And then in the last probably 3 years, it there seemed to be more requests coming in, and I realized that I had developed a little bit of ability with it, but I was really, really enjoying it a lot. And so I decided to kind of emphasize that part of my business and start to grow it. And over the past couple of years, it seems to have kind of taken off and to where I am spending a decent amount of time doing it. And it's just bizarre the range of groups that you speak to. I've done talks for Native American Nation here in Menominee, or here in Wisconsin. A couple weeks ago, I spoke in front of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Women's Ag Summit, and of course have been down to the 140 conference in Hutchinson, Kansas, three times now, and just really enjoy that. And my most exciting one, I actually just found out a couple weeks ago, my wife and I put in a proposal to speak together at a conference, and we just got notified that we've been selected. So we're going to Oslo, Norway in June to speak to the European Distance Education Network conference.
Now,
so it gets you into some interesting places and crowds.
When you go around and do these speaking engagements, what is your prep process like for a speech?
Sure. It depends on the audience, and it depends on who initiates it. So kind of the two ways that happens is a lot of conferences will do an open call for submissions. And so that allows me to say, well, here's what I'd like to talk about, put in a proposal for that. In other cases, a group will come to me, like the Wisconsin Farm Bureau did, come to me and say, we'd like you to speak for this long on this topic. And in that case, the topic was technology in your daily farm life. And so in a case like that where someone comes to me, I'll sit down with them or via email or phone and chat with them about what it is they want to accomplish. What do they want their audience to know at the end of the talk? And same kind of process when I develop my own talk or put in a proposal, I figure out what I want to talk about and try to match the theme of the conference or whoever the audience is going to be. And then it's basically just a matter of sitting down and kind of making a list. And this ideally goes on for a couple months if I have that much time to prepare. Just kind of every day mulling it over a little bit and looking for a lot of resources. So one of the things I do in a lot of my talks is point people to web services and software and things that they've never heard of. So I'll kind of think about that and think about how do I talk about that technology and relate it to their business. So what can I give for real-world examples? And that's where the consulting really comes into play nicely, because I put a lot of this stuff into play in my own business, and I've helped a lot of businesses use this stuff. So it's not just going in and saying, well, if you use this online accounting software, it'll be good. I can say, I implemented this software at a company that's very similar to you, and here's how they did it. And so looking for those real-world examples. I'm, like many people in tech field, an obsessive blog reader. So always looking at sites like lifehacker.com and things like that where they list those kind of resources. And so over time, kind of mull that over and then start hashing out the PowerPoint if I'm using one, or just making scribbled notes if I'm PowerPoint free, and kind of build the talk that way. I'm not one that practices a lot ahead of time. I've gotten where I do enough of these that I can generally, as long as I spend enough time putting it together in my head ahead of time and making notes and putting together my resource lists, I can usually spit it out okay once I'm in front of the audience.
We've got Dennis Deary with us today here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy Presents. D. Deary on Twitter, if you want to follow him over there. Talk to me a little bit about the social media world. How have you used that, as well as blogging and everything, to market and brand yourself?
Yeah, I'm active on most of the popular social media things these days. And kind of the pitch that I give to businesses is developed from my own business, which is don't go out and be on social media just because everybody says you have to be on social media. You know, I've had so many clients that say, everybody tells me I have to have a Facebook page, so help me put together a Facebook page. and you realize that maybe they're a business-to-business entity and Facebook isn't the place for them to be, but LinkedIn is. So I look at, you know, where is my audience? And my audience is, tends to be pretty broad, so I do a lot of business-to-business, but also a lot of business-to-consumer. So I do have a Facebook page. I do have a couple of Twitter accounts. I manage Twitter and Facebook accounts for a couple of different nonprofits. LinkedIn has actually been a great one for me in business to business. It's a great spot to make those kinds of connections. And then the other tool that is really invaluable to me is Hootsuite, which allows me to connect all my accounts in one place. And I actually try to spend very little kind of real-time business time managing those accounts, but take a couple of breaks through the week and schedule stuff to go out to Facebook or out to Twitter using Hootsuite, and then that allows me to kind of pull it all into one spot, and I can get pop-up notifications and decide real quickly whether it's something that I need to respond to right away. But I try not to devote a lot of work time to those things, just kind of try to keep a constant process. And if I can get 2-3 posts out to Facebook, to my Facebook page in a week, I tend to think that's pretty good. I tend to focus on pushing out resources that people might not have heard of, so a new website that I find out about or something like that. And hopefully people get some real value out of subscribing to that from me.
Well, it seems like you are you're on top of things, my friend. I will have to say.
You know, anybody that runs a business, as long as you can project that image, it doesn't matter what the truth is.
Now, you also do some photography. Talk about your work with photography.
Yeah, that's one that's been historically has been just a hobby for me. Of course, I think the developments that we've seen in digital photography in the last couple of years are just phenomenal, because there's so much good photography being generated right now. Had I been born 40 years ago, I might have looked at even being a photojournalist. If I was a photojournalist right now, I'd be desperately trying to figure out how I was going to continue to make a living or change jobs. It's still something that I mostly do as a hobby, but it's been a good source for me. When I do websites, I do some, depending on the client, I may do some of the photography for the site myself. Kind of specialize in landscape photography, not so hot with people photography, but anything I can do, landscapes, either city or rural, I enjoy that. And I publish a lot of stuff on my own. My personal website at DennisDeary.com is kind of a dumping ground. It's a real great place to share stuff with family and friends. And kind of going back to the social media question, it's one of those really bizarre things. You never know where your social media seeds are going to sprout up. My wife and I lived in Ireland for a couple of years, and while we were there, we did a tour of the Flahaven's Oats Mill, where they make oatmeal, basically, and my wife's a big fan. We did a tour, took a bunch of pictures on the tour, and I posted them to my website. A couple years ago, I noticed in my web logs that I was getting a handful of visits linked in from Wikipedia every month. And I thought, well, that's odd. And I traced back, and I discovered that somebody had written an article on Wikipedia for Flahaven's Oats, which is the oldest oats mill in Ireland. And they found my photos, and so I am now linked from Wikipedia. And it's not a huge amount of traffic or anything, but it's photos that I would have posted anyway. And now every month, about 10 to 15 people get linked into my website that would have never heard of me otherwise. Now, I've not gotten any work from any of those people that I know of, but as anybody who's in business knows, you know, if you can get kind of for free 10 to 15 new people that hear about who you are, hey, that's gravy. So it's just one of those weird things that popped up, and I often use as an example of why social media and why having your own website can be a good thing.
Well, Dennis, talk to us about what people can do, especially since you're in the public speaking world and things of that nature. How can public speakers use social media and things of that nature to brand themselves and market themselves?
Yeah, One of the biggest things that is pretty important to do and is thankfully getting to be easier to do is to share samples of your work. And that's one thing, as some of the people that you talk to about coming to speak to their audience will want to see or hear an example of you talking. And it can be very simple. You know, if you've got video, great. If you've got audio, great. More and more, I'm finding that doing podcast interviews like this is great because it gives people a chance to at least hear your voice. And so it's very critical anytime you have examples like that to share them far and wide. Post Facebook, post to Twitter, post it on your own website. And I've had a number of speaking gigs come through the door. And the 140 conference is great because they do video there and post those online, so you're able to share those things. And I've seen a number of people that have seen those samples posted on my social media streams that have then called me up and said, hey, can you come speak to our group? So that's real critical. And then the other big thing is write a lot, because most people will make the connection that if you can write intelligently, you can probably speak fairly well as well. You know, you may need a little bit of practice, but if you can generate a fair bit of content for your own blog or your own social media stream and show that you know what you're talking about, show that you know technology or you know photography, you kind of become a trusted resource there. And then when people are looking for a speaker, your name is there because they know that you at least know the topic area.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that are getting into social media, and they're either public speakers or they have been public speakers. What is the one thing you've learned from social media that has made you a better public speaker?
Boy, that's a good question. I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is, it's incredibly interesting to watch, to go back and look at your live stream after you're done with a talk. And this was especially valuable at the 140 conference because it is a conference that is heavily live tweeted and live blogged. And so you get a lot of, it's the feedback that you don't necessarily get from your audience in real time. So when you're standing up there on stage, and especially if you've got the bright lights in your face, you can't really see the audience. You don't really know what's connecting and what's not. And what I find that has helped me an awful lot is as I'm crafting a talk, you know, as you're writing things, you think, okay, wow, that's a really beautiful phrase, or that's a really great thought. That's got to be real key. And sometimes that connects with the audience and sometimes it doesn't. And so what I find is going back and reading, say, the live Twitter feed, especially if there's a good hashtag and it's easy to kind of follow, it's interesting to see what in your talk connects with the audience and what doesn't. And one of the things you realize is that what is really a beautiful turn of phrase to you, or a really critical thought, or kind of the nugget that you really want people to share, isn't necessarily what the audience takes away from your talk. And that can be kind of unnerving because you think, oh my gosh, I just lucked in. The piece that really connected with this audience, I just stumbled into it. It's not the piece that I spent a month and a half crafting.
yeah.
But it's also, it kind of helps you to understand and realize that, you know, I wish I could remember who shared this quote, but it's something along the lines of, we all hear the message that we're looking to find, and not everybody that comes to your talk is looking to hear the message that you're there to share, but they may get other messages out of your talk. And so it helps to kind of broaden your thing, because you go into a talk kind of with a very narrow focus. I want to share this particular nugget, and you need to remember that not everybody is there for that nugget, so get as many good nuggets as you can into that talk, but still kind of trend towards the target that you want to shoot for.
Dennis Derry with us today here on the big broadcast, talking public speaking, branding, marketing, and social media here on BGE Presents here on BuildGrownEnjoy.com. Join us each and every Friday here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy for another high-profile person in the social media and marketing world. Dennis, talk to me about public speaking in regards to some of the different people you enjoy watching. Who have been some of your inspirations for what they do public speaking wise?
A couple of really big names that would jump to mind right away would be Seth Godin and Richard Branson. A couple of people, Seth Godin, I'm sure is well known to anybody
yep.
who deals with social media
yep.
stuff. Richard Branson, obviously a pretty interesting businessman that is into all kinds of different things. A couple of other resources that I think are really great, not necessarily individual people. One would be TED Talks, which are all free and available online. Phenomenal number of people that speak at those, and just such a broad array of ideas and cool things that you can learn from watching those. And then back to where you and I have met a couple of times, the 140 conference, or now the State of Now.
Yes, it's the State of Now Small Town 2012
yeah.
conference. But yeah, I know.
and those, they're very cool because they're very brief talks. You know, it's a 10-minute talk, very much like TED. So you don't have to invest an hour. But again, just such a broad array of ideas and thoughts. It's not so much, and I do this myself, a lot of the talks that I give are very mechanistic. So here's how you start a Facebook page, here's how you
yep.
manage it, kind of those things. Whereas the great thing about conferences like the State of Now and like TED are they're far more philosophical. It's not how do you use Facebook, but what does it mean when all the residents of a small town are using Facebook instead of going to the local cafe? And things
yep.
like that. So it allows you to explore much bigger ideas. And again, a lot of the 140 conference talks are available online, so I definitely encourage people to check those out.
We've got an amazing, amazing guest with us today. Dennis Derry joins us, D. Derry on Twitter, and you can also find him at DennisDerry.com. Dennis, thanks for doing this, my friend. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for being on with us this week.
My pleasure, Jiggy. It's good to talk to you and not have to wait a whole year to see you at the 140.
Definitely. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you this year, and thanks for doing this, and I will be in touch, my man.
Sounds good, Jiggy.
All right, brother. You too. Talk to you soon, man. Dennis Derry here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy Presents. BuildGrowAndEnjoy.com is the official website. Go over to Build, Grow, and Enjoy each and every day. We have content available 24/7, 365 days a year. And if you would like to connect with our guest, Dennis Derry, he is available on Twitter at DDEERY or D. Derry. Also, DennisDerry.com is his website. You can also find him on email, Dennis@irose.com. That's Dennis@irose.com. You can also find him on LinkedIn and Facebook and Skype, YouTube, and he's pretty much all over the place. He's a pretty high-profile guy. I was glad that he could make the time for us today. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, it's at Jiggy Jaguar. That's JiggyJaguar. And if you want to find me on the internet, it's JiggyJaguar.com. Next week, we've got more here on Build and Grow and Enjoy. If my music will play.